Amen. Boy, can you relate to that? We want to welcome you here at The Crossing. We're so glad you're with us today. If you're visiting with us, thanks for coming. We want you to know that we believe that God is alive and active. And our heart, our vision, is to plant churches all over the world. It's not just to be set and idle and just do one church, but we believe we are the church. And it's our vision to plant churches. We've already began the journey. I don't know if some of you missed the news, but Movement Church has officially got a building. And so we're excited for them. Yeah, and Salina. And we're excited about what God is doing and the plans that God has today. Our mission, what we live by, is to become a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. When you look at the Word of God, we see the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment tells us in Matthew 22 to love God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul, to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's becoming a disciple. And then we believe we make disciples through the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where he says, go into all the world and make disciples. Teach them to obey the commands. Know that he's with them always to the end of the age. And we see that those two major commands that Jesus gave. So we believe that as we become disciples that make disciples of Christ, that comes out of us and the kingdom of God expands and life change happens. Amen? Amen. And we're just excited about what God is doing. I want to talk to you today, just a standalone message on seasons. And when you look at seasons of life, all of us face seasons. But many times we don't understand the true lessons and the ramifications behind them. Some of you today may have come in a difficult season in your life. Maybe you're going through, you know, terrible news, or you're going through job situations or sickness, whatever it may be. You've gone through difficult seasons. Maybe 2015 was one of those seasons. You thought it was never going to end. Maybe 2016's one you're looking at going, what is going on? But we all go through them in life. Back in the year 2007, God began to teach me on the power of seasons. And it's something that I want to share. You know, periodically bring back up. God brings it back to my memory and my lessons, and I want to share it with you. Because there's a definite power when you understand the lesson behind each season. Because we all go through them, and when you can begin to grasp it, it begins to help you. We had gone through a difficult time in our, you know, few years prior to that with our pastor's wife who had gone through brain cancer, and she had passed away, and there was a two-year stint, and it was just a difficult time of our lives, and yet through that, God was faithful. And then in 2007, we were on the cusp of a new journey. God was removing us from where we were at the time, serving as executive pastors and comfortable. Everything was great. It was a good season. It was like, well, we're comfortable now. Everything's good. We've kind of gotten past the difficult stage, all is well. And then we went through this in 2007. God began to stir our hearts about church planting. I'll never forget the day I went to Mandy, and we were praying about what the Lord wanted us to do. And I went to her, and I said, I've been praying, and I really feel like the Lord is telling us to plant a church. Now, let me give you a little preface here. In this moment, Mandy's sitting on the couch with a broken foot, and she's holding a newborn baby, and we have two other kids. We have three kids, 1 year apart, so three kids in 3 years. So we have all these little kids running around with an infant in her hand and a broken foot, and I never forget this. I walk in, I'm like, I really feel like God's telling us to plant a church. And she looked at me, and she says, you need to go pray again. And I'm like, really? Like, man, I thought I heard from God, you know, and I was like, wait a second, because it was a season that we were comfortable when we knew what came behind that was going to be a difficult journey. And it wasn't just going to be the nice, easy ride that it had been. Things were going to shift for us. But through that, God began to speak to me through this passage of scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And if you'll look with me today, also before, if you have on your, if you would like to follow along in your YouVersion, there's an app on there, the YouVersion, you can look at on your phones. It's the Bible app. In that, it has all of the different notes that will be on here today. If you just go to the More tab, click on the Live Events, and you'll see The Crossing. When you look on in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, let's just read. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And when you look at this, I mean, it's like, did they miss anything? I'm not sure. Because it's like you covered about everything that the writer could think. And Solomon was the writer as the Lord was imparting to him. And when you look at that, it's basically saying that there are good times, there are bad times, but everything in it is a season. And one of the things as I began to process this scripture in our life in that difficult season was that this is that every season has a purpose. Every season has a purpose. Now, I begin to look at it and study through the eyes of an oak tree. Now, one of the things about an oak tree here is you see a picture. One of the things about an oak tree is it takes about 60 years to fully mature. And the reality in our lives is many of us don't want to wait for the time it takes to mature. We want things instant. We live in an instant society, do we not? I mean, man, more and more and more is things becoming faster and quicker. We have our phones, you know, we don't even need, what are encyclopedias? I bet you ask a young child what an encyclopedia is. They don't know, but they could tell you what Wikipedia is, right? Encyclopedias have become Google. Just Google it. I mean, I had a doctor friend I was talking this about one time, and we were laughing. He said, in the age of Google, who needs doctors? Because everybody that comes in has already diagnosed themselves as their needs. Listen, doc, I'm struggling here. And they're like, we think it's this. Absolutely not. WebMD tells me it's, right? Oh, you know you've used it, WebMD. You figure out yourself. You diagnose yourself. You go through this. We have all knowledge at our fingertips. Everything's fast. It's instant. We have it. But yet, think of this. A mushroom is instant. It grows in 6 hours. It can be fully formed in 6 hours. But an oak tree takes 60 years. But yet at the first storm, the mushroom is gone. But the oak tree can weather the storm. So do you want to be that instant access and have everything given to you and be the mushroom? Or do you want to learn what it means to live a life of purpose and go through seasons? When you look at this picture with the whole oak tree, there's so many different seasons involved. And all of us have seasons that we go through. The first one I want you to look at is in the bottom right there, is the spring. The spring, listen, we like spring in life. Spring is when things are good. Growth is happening. Flowers are blooming. It's just a fun time. Now, I know some of you are the realist, and you say, yeah, but there's pollen. It messes with my sinuses. And I mean, I'm not, let's just, in a euphoric world, let's just look happily here, okay? Let's don't drag anything down with me. But in spring, it's a time of growth. It's a time of growth. Things are good. Things are well. And if you think about it, in your life, even though I know some of you, you realists, think that it hadn't happened, you've had a spring in your life. You've had moments when you're like, man, it's good. But now what we often don't realize is in the spring, we don't even know it's spring, do we? Because we're just happy things are good. It's usually when we go through the rougher times, we're like, man, that was really good then, right? I joke about it. You know, when I was an executive pastor, you know, I served on staff and I enjoyed it. But I was like, man, you know what? You know, I want to be a pastor. I want to lead the church. I want to be the leader. And, you know, after being a leader, you're like, you know, that executive stuff, that's not so bad. You know, you don't have all the troubles. You just get to go and just live life. It's actually kind of nice, you know. You begin, you know where God's called you, and you call according to that. But we go through, there are moments in our lives where things are good. And that's just a spring in our lives. Then there are moments in our life where there's summer. Now, summer, for some, is the best time of the year. You know, if you're a kid, it is because you get to go swimming, right? You get to go swimming. Swim, 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 swim. That's all you want to do. That's just life. Life's great. I'm out of school. Things are good. But in summer, in this season of summer, what happens? If you live in Texas, it's hot. And if you live in Texas, you're normally at some point, they're going to deal with droughts and things of that nature. But the interesting thing, when you study in an oak tree, summer is when it gets dry, it actually is when the roots begin to go deeper and search for water. And so although it may seem like a dry season, it's preparing itself for the upcoming growth that's going to take place. So in that time, its roots are being strengthened. They're going deeper. The less water there is, the deeper the roots grow. If you think about it in your life, many of you have faced a summer, a drought where you didn't experience God, or a drought where you went through a difficult time. Maybe it wasn't the end of the world, but it was just a dry time in your life. And you're looking for water. And at the time, it looked as if there was just nothing good coming out of it. But yet you realize in that dry time, it was actually preparing you for the next season. Which is what? Which is fall. Now, fall is one of my favorite times of the year. Now, I love fall because it means football's in the air. Like, you can just, you know, you can just walk out and you smell that. I'm like, you smell that? I'm like, that's just football season. I mean, I just know it's coming. And I love that. I love everything about that. My buddy Tommy, who served on staff with us, he would smell that. It was so funny. One day we're sitting there. I'm like, you smell that? And he's like, yeah, man. I said, fall is here. I was like, football? He goes, no, man, hunting, you know? And it's like, it's funny because it's different for all of us, right? We all have our different seasons, but I love the fall. It starts to cool down. It's just one of my favorite times of the year. In the oak tree, if you'll put that back up, in the oak tree, the interesting thing about that is, as you study an oak tree, what was so significant during this lesson the Lord began to show me is, I always, now, you can just call this ignorance or what, or just whatever. I didn't really know. I didn't really study it. I just kind of thought, you know what? It's next season. The wind blows. The leaves fall off, right? But there's actually so much more behind it. Because you see, as an oak tree, in the cycle of it, it begins to recognize that, you know what? We're moving into a different season. And so it sends the signal, a chemical signal, to the leaves. That's when they begin to change colors. And then it releases the leaves. It's a pruning. You see, in your life, many of you have gone through a fall. As much as I love fall as a season of weather, I hate fall in the season of life. Because that's when you often may lose people that are close to you. It may be when people that were friends, you go different ways. And you know what? Let's just be real. That's not fun. I like spring. I'm like, hey, new people, new friends. Let's go. Let's live. But yet, fall is necessary to bring growth. If you don't have fall, you can't truly grow. Mandy's dad told me he grew a bunch of trees. And it's really weird looking at them now because I remember when he planted them, and I've been in the family now about 18 years. And I'm like, man, them trees are big. I remember they're little, you know. You're like, wow, it's crazy. And I'll never forget when he was there, he would chop them off at the beginning. I said, why are you chopping your trees off? He said, well, it's what my daddy taught me. I said, well, why did he tell you to chop your trees? He said, because you have to chop them off. And the ones on the bottom, so it can get the height and the strength that it needs to grow tall. We don't like the chopping. But yet in your life, there have been seasons when you have that chopping. And it's hard. It's very difficult. But yet you have to understand that in His time, in all seasons, it's necessary to produce growth. And then there's winter. Oh, how we love winter, you know. If only it would snow, right? Those the kids in the South that live in the South, all the South, we love it because if it snows, it means it's gonna change in the next 24 to 48 hours. Anyway, we don't keep snow very long, and it means a day out of school. I mean, it's just a lot of good things. But in the winter months, it's barren, isn't it? I mean, the leaves are all gone. You just look around, and there's just nothing but this brown wood. And it's a different feeling because it's not there. Yet one of the most interesting things about winter is the time when the tree is soaking up all the nutrients. All the water is just soaking up all the nutrients it can. It's literally has reduced itself to where it does not have to maintain the leaves, okay? It's not worried about all the leaves because it has no leaves. You know what it's doing? It's gaining nutrients for what? The season of growth. It's preparing itself for the season of growth. And when you look at Ecclesiastes 3, you begin to see that every season There's a season for everything. And every season has a purpose. If you read on in Ecclesiastes 3, it says this. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden that God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I conclude that there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor. For these are the gifts from God. And I know whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear Him. So you have to understand that even though there's difficult times, even though there's hard situations, every season has a purpose. And seasons are designed to bring growth. They're designed to bring growth. You go through the spring, which is what we enjoy. You go through the summer, it has a purpose. The fall has a purpose. The winter has a purpose. They all have a purpose. And while that's easy for us to see through the eyes of an oak tree, it's difficult for us to see in our own lives. Because we want to live in spring 24/7. We want to live where everybody's happy, that flowers are blooming and everything's good and everything's going according to plan. But listen to me today. If you don't have summer, if you don't have fall, if you don't have winter, you'll never grow. The growth will stop. Every season has a purpose, and seasons are designed to bring growth in your life. That's why in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." You have a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's called heaven. But in the meantime, you have a chance to grow. No, we don't like the different seasons, but yet they are useful in our lives. But here's what you have to understand. Every season has a purpose. That happens. They're designed to bring growth. But here is the linchpin, if you would say. This is the linchpin. If you're going through a difficult time right now, this is a critical point. Your response to each season dictates your level of growth in the next season. How you respond in this season dictates your level of growth in the next season. You know, if you give in, you give up, you let go, guess what? That's what you're going to get out of it. How you respond in it, it determines your level of growth. It literally dictates your path that you're facing and what you'll go into. Look at Galatians chapter 6. It tells us this. It says, "Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all the good things with them. Don't be misled." Listen to this. "You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." You will always harvest what you plant. So your level, your response to your season, it literally dictates your next season of growth. Right here, what it says, right there in verse 7, "You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith." So what is it saying here? It's telling us that, guess what? This process, you have to understand, this is the journey. And you have to know what you do now in this difficult season is going to determine your level of growth in the next season. So that's why you have to take notice of what season you're in and recognize that your season will change, but it's always for the betterment of God's plan. If you're in fall, winter's coming. But guess what comes after winter? Spring. So instead of looking at this and saying, pity me, I'm in fall. Pity me, it's dry, I'm in the summer. Oh me, it's winter. Look at it as an opportunity. How can I grow deeper? How can I extend my roots? What is God removing from my life to bring growth in my life? Because God's plans are bigger than our plans. And in Romans 8:28, he tells us that, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. When you look at that in your life, it's one of those things that's easy to say, easy to talk about, easy to read, but difficult to live. Like I said, we want to live in spring, right? I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe you like the hard times, and that's great. But for most of us, I don't like the rough times. But my response to them determines the level of growth in the next. You know, as I look back over our journey at the Crossing, man, I can see the different seasons that have taken place. Seasons of growth, like I said, ding, 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 like those. Seasons of fall, I hate the fall within that growth aspect. Because that's when the people that are close to you often move on. And man, that I'm just going to tell you, just being transparent, as a pastor, it's always personal. You know, oh, don't take it personal. It's always personal. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because we learned early on in ministry, we have two choices. We can love and care, or just simply be a hireling and preach the word. But if you love and care for people and you truly love and care for them, it hurts. I'm just making it real. But I understand that fall is necessary. I understand that it happens, that people move on, and that's a part of life. But I also understand that spring is coming. And instead of looking at that and saying, ugh, I have to look forward. You see, you have to make a choice today. Everybody has a story. You all have a story. Sometimes that story is good, the spring story. Sometimes it's bad, it's the fall story. But everybody has a story. You've got to determine what story is going to guide your life. You see, if it's the story of the past, living in the past, you're either going to be one of two things. Always living in the glory days. Remember when, remember when, remember when. That's when it was good. Now it's bad. Remember when? And you're going to be frustrated. Or you're going to live in the days where, you know what? It was so horrible. You know, everything's so bad. You know, and you live in those days. Or you can live in the story of the future that says, all things work together for good. My God's got something big in store. And I recognize that although this is a difficult season, I know things are going to work out. Recently, have you noticed, and we've talked, and I just want to give you an update on what things are going on around here, some of the neat things that God's doing. Several months ago, God laid it on our heart. He told us it's time to sell your facility. At the time, we had no idea, you know, what it was. You know, in here, we're okay. We could still put a few more chairs. But in the back, if you've noticed, we're full. We're definitely full. And we have a lot of kids, and that's wonderful. We are excited about that. But, you know, we thought, you know, we could go to two services, a lot of other options. But we really feel like the Lord said, it's time to sell. And so we contacted the realtor, and we didn't even know. We had no idea if it was, you know, what was looking at. Well, come to find out, in a nutshell, because of God's providence and his taking care of us, things have grown exponentially. We have the billboard out there. Now, the billboard is not our billboard. It's Clear Channel's billboard. They actually lease land from us. But normally, whenever they do that, they ask you to buy an actual piece of property, and they permit it out. But for whatever reason, God in his providence knew to take care of us. And we never sold them a piece of land. We simply so allowed them to lease from us. So according to the records in the city, the permit is tied to our property. Let me tell you what that means. There's a lot of value in billboards. And in that process, I sat down with the city actually just this past, a little over a week ago. And I was talking to them about a whole other issue, and they asked me about the building. And I told them, you know, where we were and the process of it. And they said, "Do you own the billboard?" I said, "No." I said, "We don't own it." I said, "We just hold the permit." They said, "You're kidding." I said, "No, we hold the permit, and we understand the value of that." He said, "Yeah. But at the time when we began this process, we knew there could be a possibly 6 billboards that could be placed, only 6 on the whole stretch of 423. And he looked at me and said, "That's changed." He said, "Let me tell you something. You and the other one are the only 2 that will ever go up again." And he said, "So your value just went higher." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And so we begin to realize we owe a little over $1.3 million on the property. And we had no idea, but the value of it just without the billboard alone is close to $2 million. Now, on top of that, with the billboard, it pushes the value up in the mid-threes, in the $3 million range. And so it allows us to sell, and this is all depending upon the right buyer, the right price at the right time, which is what we've been praying for. But it allows us to sell and essentially build, if not debt-free, close to it, which frees us up to do the ministry that God has called of planting churches. And we see God's hand in that. So let me just put it like this. I see spring coming. Yeah. And that excites me. But let me tell you something. We're living in winter. And that ain't no joke. We're living in winter. We've gone through fall. People have moved on, and man, it crushes me, but I understand it's a part of the process. It crushes me, but I say, God, you're in control. It forces me back to my knees, but it puts us at winter. And I don't know about you, but winter always seems to be a time when the bills go up, don't they? And you're like, hold up, Lord. And I'm just being very transparent with you. I've struggled with this because I'm like, Lord, spring is right here. Let's just do this. Come on, Lord. And we have had, and just to give you another update, we've had, they receive calls, the realtor receives calls every single day about this property. Isn't that crazy? He said, "I'm telling you, there's not a day goes by I don't get 1, if not 3 or 4 or 5 calls about the property." And we have had, I don't even know how many now, people that have said, "We're going to make an offer." And I'm like, "Yeah!" But they don't make an offer. I'm like, "Hold up! What's the deal?" It's frustrating. I'm like, "Lord, you have provided. Lord, you didn't provide yet." And he said, "You're still in winter." Now, I could look at it in winter and say, "Man, I'm in winter. I want to be in spring." Which is what we normally do, right? Or I could embrace winter and say, "Lord, let us store up all that you have. Because I know there's a time coming when there's going to be spring. And I also know that when spring comes, there's going to be summer. And I know that when summer comes, there'll be fall again. And I know that when fall comes, there'll be winter again. Because there's a season cycle that happens in everyone's life. So it's vital for us as a body to not abandon winter and wait for spring. It's vital that we store up in winter to prepare for spring. Because we don't know the future. We don't know what it holds. But we know who holds all seasons. And in your life today, maybe you're in fall. Maybe you're in winter. In fall and winter, and in summer at times, we don't want to be stretched, do we? It's oftentimes when we cut back on giving to the Lord. It's oftentimes when we cut back on serving the Lord. It's oftentimes when we kind of just take a step back. We're trying to just survive. Let me tell you something. God didn't call you to survive. He called you to thrive. He created you to be all that he's called you to be. And I'm challenging you here today. If you're in those months of your life, those seasons of your life, don't sit back. Move forward. Because your level of commitment, your level of engagement will dictate your growth in the next level. And so if you want all that God has for you, engage. Engage. And be a part of what God's doing. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we never want to close a service without giving you that opportunity. If you do not have a relationship with him, or maybe you've accepted him at one point in your life and you've walked away, but you need him in your life. With no one looking around, out of respect for others, if you're saying, hey, I know I need to make him Lord of my life, I want to give you that opportunity. Whether it's recommitting your life to him or whether it's asking him to come into your life for the first time, but you recognize that you need his help in this journey. With no one looking around, I just want you to make eye contact with me right now. I want to pray with you. You're saying, pray for me. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a huge step. I'm so excited for you because you're beginning a journey. And it's a journey. Doesn't mean life isn't easy. It just means now that you have someone to help you in that journey. We're going to say a prayer and ask the Lord, confessing our sins, Lord, and ask him to come into our hearts. But in Romans chapter 10, that's the first step, is confessing. But it says, then we have to believe it, which means we make it a part of our life. I'm going to ask that everybody in this room say the prayer with us. We're not here to single anybody out. If you made that choice, you're one of the ones that responded, then make it your prayer. This becomes your prayer. For the rest of us, let it remind you of what God has done in your life. But together, let's all repeat this prayer together as one. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. Take my heart. Take my life.